Well, good morning, everyone. Let's get started this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you.
We are here to pray. We're here so joyfully with Tim from China, and he gets the long distance award today for the longest venture. But we're here to pray for Abraham, and he was just back to get his son Abraham married. So when you read of Abraham, you can think of Tim's son too, or he can anyway. Let's begin with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can gather. We thank you for your living word, how we need it, how we need you. We have the first intercessory prayer in the Bible, and maybe one of the best in the Bible, and there's so much to learn here. So help us to glean from what you have for us, and then lead us in this time of prayer as well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're working our way through, you know, this is the fourth main dialogue with God that we have in the scriptures. And it is good to see how dialogues go with the Lord. And we've got one of the best intercessory prayers, as I mentioned, in the Bible right here in front of us in chapter 18. I was so amazed. There's one word in here over and over and over that Abraham used in his prayer that I don't know that I've ever used in a prayer. And so if this is the best intercessory prayer and I've never used this word, maybe I ought to listen up. And maybe you'll figure out which word it is before we're done here. I'll tell you anyway. But we had the first half of the chapter last week, and now we are picking it up in verse 22. Chapter 18 of Genesis, then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord, and Abraham came near and said, now this is so big right here, if you could put this into context, these three guys show up, Abraham feeds them, and now they're getting ready to leave. And they go take a peek towards Sodom, and Abraham goes with them, and they tell him about what they're going to do. And then the two guys leave to go to Sodom, and Jesus stays standing there. We read here that Abraham stood still. So Abraham doesn't leave. He doesn't go back home. But he's standing next to the Lord. Think about that. And then not only standing, he drew near to the Lord. So notice the proximity now of this prayer. This prayer is standing alongside Jesus. And we have him right here this morning. So when we pray, we are as close to him as Abraham was in this prayer right here. But notice the closeness in this prayer. Now, he's just been told that he's here to destroy, to oversee if what he heard about the wickedness of Sodom was really true. God is really bending over backwards, so to speak, to be righteous and just here and fair. He wants to see for himself if all these wicked reports were right. And of course, who's living in Sodom but Abraham's nephew, Lot? You know, Lot made a bad choice by wanting to go down towards Sodom. He ends up in Sodom, and now he's even sitting in the gate as one of the leaders of Sodom. That's not a good thing. And so I'm sure that Abraham is thinking, well, I believe Lot is righteous, and I imagine he's got daughters. He's got two daughters that are married and son-in-laws. You know, I've got a family there of like 10 people. You know, I know, are they going to be destroyed too? But he starts thinking, I guess, about the righteous. But notice he gets the character of God first in his prayer. He says, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Great question. But just think of that as you're addressing the Lord and you're establishing very clearly in your prayer his character. And that your prayer is going to be in accordance with that. If your prayer isn't in accordance with his character and his will, you shouldn't even be praying. Or the prayer won't make any difference. And then he asks this word. First, of six times, suppose. It's only used eight times in the whole Old Testament, and here it's used six right here in this verse today, verses today. But suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? So that's the question here. You're a righteous God. Are you going to destroy the wicked with the righteous? Is the platform here. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? And notice he goes, far be it from you to do such a thing as this. Just think about this, talking to Jesus next door. And he's going to repeat this again. Far be it from you. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth. Think of that now. When you pray, you're praying to the judge of all the earth. Now, should that be a reverent prayer or just a casual ho-hum prayer? You're praying to the judge of all the earth. As I mentioned, the first intercessory prayer in the Bible. Now, it's remarkable that Abraham would even care about Sodom, because it's such a wicked place. Such a wicked place. But he cares about them and he loves the people. Amazing. Verse 26, so the Lord said, if I find. Now the Lord is answering here and setting a real statement. If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for your sake. So now there is a standard set by the Lord. He's not going to destroy all the righteous. In fact, if he finds 50 righteous there, he won't even destroy the city. Isn't that amazing? But that's where the supposes start in now. He says, suppose you're going to destroy the wicked with the righteous, or the righteous with the wicked. And God says, no, if I find 50 righteous within the city, I will spare all the place for their sakes. But I bet Abraham is thinking, I don't know if there's 50 righteous in that place or not. That place is full of sin. So now he's going to start, some people say negotiating. I don't really look at it really as negotiating. I'm just looking at him. He and the Lord are both on the same wavelength. But Abraham is going to show his heart on continuing to persist in getting that number down as low as he possibly can. So when you're praying, and you're praying for the lost, think about praying for getting that number of the lost as low as it can get, right? And he keeps on praying. He keeps on praying here. So he says, if I find 45... He starts out just dropping it by five. If I find 45, I will not destroy it, God says. And Abraham spoke to him again. And anytime you see he with a small h here in this, put your word I in there, really. And every time you see Abraham, put your name in there, and you will not be far off from really moving into this intercessory prayer of what Abraham is doing. So he spoke to him yet again, and suppose there be 40 found there. So God says, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Now notice, the Lord doesn't volunteer, oh, I'll go all the way down to 10. No. He's going to hear the prayer, and he's honoring the prayer, and he's coming down as the prayer is made. So he came from 50 down to 45, now he's down to 40. And I don't know how brave Abraham is, but notice I even passed over this one statement there in verse 27, which is so important for our humility. Abraham says, he starts to get into five down, right? But notice he's not coming in pride. He says, I who am but dust and ashes. Do you look at yourself as dust and ashes when you're in prayer to the Lord? He said, I've taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. And then he goes on down. Now we're at 40. Then he continues. Suppose 30 were found there. So God said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And Abraham said, indeed now, I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So God said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. And I imagine Abraham, not only for the sake of Lot, but maybe primarily for the sake of Lot and his family, there may not be 20 there. Certainly there must be 10. I'm not sure if that's what he was thinking or not, but that's what he asked. He said, let not the Lord be angry, I will speak but once more. So this is it. This is his last prayer, pushing it as far as he can, he thinks. Suppose 10 should be found there. Now, it's impossible to miss the persistence of Abraham in prayer. And I look at my persistence. How persistent am I in prayer? Why didn't he give up at 40 or so and just say, well, it's in the Lord's hands. I'll let the Lord's will be done. How many times do you pray that prayer? We always want to pray the Lord's will be done. But I don't want to work. I'll just let the Lord do it. You know, I don't want to stand for what is right. The Lord's purposes are going to be fulfilled. I can do whatever I want. No, I don't think that's why he has us here, to do whatever we want. So right down here, because an intercessor must feel at the moment of prayer, the eternal destiny of men depends on his prayer. Do you really feel that when you pray for the lost? Now, you can't save them, but you can pray for them to be saved, right? And if your heart is really in the right place, God honors that prayer, because we see over and over in the Bible, or quite a few times anyway, God remembered Abraham. We're going to see this prayer being remembered a little later in Genesis here as Sodom is being destroyed. And it says, and God remembered Abraham. So here's the prayer that he would be remembering. I think the Lord is continuing to draw out his faith, just like the Syrophoenician woman. He would continue to not answer the prayer on the first little hint and then move on, but he's letting Abraham continue to pray, continue to persist. And so we read on, God said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Now we see the negotiation, if you will, is over. So the Lord went his way. That's the end of discussion. The Lord went his way. As soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham went home. Now, isn't that a great prayer? Isn't that a great prayer when we think of that persistence, when we think of that heart, that none of the righteous would be lost because of the wicked? And we see also in the case of, Noah, we had to get the people in the righteous people in the ark before he would destroy the wicked, and he destroyed all the wicked there in Noah's time. In Sodom, he only destroyed the cities of Sodom, Gomorrah, and a few other cities around there. But we will read a little later on, the angel said they could not destroy the city until they got Lot out of there. And that's so comforting, because are you going to be destroyed in the great tribulation along with the wicked? There won't even be the tribulation until you're out of here. So we want to pray today and every day for the lost. Now, we can pray for all kinds of things. But remember, the salvation issue, I think the eternal issues are by far the most important issues to pray for, aren't they? I mean, we can pray for today. We can even pray for good weather today. That's fine in a way, but that's not all that important. Good weather isn't going to save a lot of people. It's kind of a ridiculous joke, but may we just pray as the Lord would lead us to pray. We do want to pray. I came up this week with 80 names, actually 79. There's one vacant right now of the assembly members of California. So we'll go through that list. We can pray. It takes about 6 at a time, and we'll go around the room and pray for those. And I even have on there the author of this horrible bill, 495, and the 6 on it that amended it, helped amend it. And you will see the lists of those names. So we want to pray for that before we're done as well. But initially now, we just want to go to the Lord as the Spirit would lead in however that he would prompt you to pray. We just want to go to him now. So, Father, we thank you for this great example of intercessory prayer. And we're here to intercede, Lord. We just want to make sure we're doing what you would have us to do. We're praying what you would have us to pray for, Lord. And if we know that it is of you, then we can pray with great boldness and great certainty, Lord, praying to the judge of all the earth, praying to the one who created us and everything here, knowing that you will do right, you will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. So, Lord, we are so thankful for who you are, and that you are and must keep your promises. And we thank you for your word, which never changes, Lord. So lead us now in these moments of prayer, in Jesus' name. Let's turn to page 3, the notes, and pray through these 80 California Assembly people. 67 are Democrats, 75%. They're listed in no particular order, other than that's the order on the webpage. But it's got the counties they represent. Where the county is in all caps, that means they represent the whole county. Many of these small counties, you'll have one representative for maybe representing 4 or 5 counties. You'll see here it gives you their party, the R's or the D's, and then it gives you the counties they represent. So I've broken it down into groups of 6, and I think probably to give everybody an opportunity to pray. We won't maybe necessarily get everybody to pray, but if you want to read all 6, read all 6 names. If you want to read 2 or 3 and pass on, that's fine. The names are in bold, as you see there, in the italics. And I think it's important to pray for these people. I listed down here the co-authors, or 6 co-authors of this AB 495, and the author of it is Rodriguez. She's Celeste. She's listed on here as well. So it's not that these need a special prayer. They had a recent voting on this bill, the third reading of this bill. Every single Democrat supported it. Every single. So that's where we got the evil against us in this supermajority. Because on most of these important bills, they require 2/3 majority. But since the Democrats have 75% majority, it doesn't matter. It's already done. And they're sticking together with their evil funds and all. But we have something much more powerful than that, and that is prayer. So let's just pray these names to the Lord as the Lord would lead us, and for salvation, obviously, and for them to turn to him, and rather than be an enemy of the Lord's, on their way to destruction, would become a friend, would become a saved. Jose, you want to begin us here reading the first one? Just we'll go right around clockwise around the room. So read 6. If you want to read less, just say pass. Or want to pass, period, just say pass. And just, I might add, as we're just praying here, the bills have already been passed. The only thing left to do is for Newsom to veto it. In fact, the assembly bill was passed all the way back the 1st of June. And then they had some more hearings and some more amendments. And this is all sponsored by hatred of Trump. They're trying to make a statement against ICE, that the ICE are coming in and taking parents away from their child and leaving the child without parents. It's not happening, but it doesn't matter. Remember, the Democrats, 89% of them hate this country or do not love this country. Whereas, no, it's not that high. It's way up there. Whereas with the Republicans, it's the other way around. Almost 85% love this country. So you got the two forces here. The ones that want to tear down, somebody's already mentioned they're rebellious, right? They want to tear down, they want to destroy. So let's just finish this list here. But we don't need to pray for the Assembly and Senate not to pass this bill, because they already have. And we're going to finish this list here because we want to get on down. I didn't mean to interrupt, but we're praying for it not to. We should pray for him not to vote on things in the future like this for sure. Go ahead. Sorry. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the example and the intercessory prayers. And Lord, I just thank you the way Abraham never gives God direct prayers, direction prayers. And I tend to do that too much, and because that's wanting my will to be done rather than really just standing on what he wants to do. But we thank you for the prayers, no matter how feeble they are or whatever. We just thank you that you hear them. Just give us hearts to love you more and love others more. And we pray a lot about your mercy. Your mercy is already given, but the grace that you've given, that's giving us something we don't deserve. And so I just pray for salvation for just everyone on this list. I pray the names we read this morning, we would pray for that name or those six names every day this week. I don't know if we prayed for the senators we read last week, but it's important to just be praying. And you love them all. There's no preferential here. I don't love one more than the other. And they're just names to us, but they're so special to you because you know the number of hairs on their head and so forth, Lord. So we lift them up. And so, Lord, as we come to a close this morning, I just thank you for everyone who's here. And I pray that we would go, even our separate ways, we would be in prayer today, Lord. We would just have an attitude of continuous prayer. You tell us to pray without ceasing, and help us to be doing that, Lord. And so just want to close with singing this old song. You know, it's a hymn, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Yeah. It's the Bill Gaither singers, and got Romance Watson singing the last verse. The words are on the bottom of page 4. So let's sing this together, if we may.
Calling, say, oh, my loving Savior.
Father, thank you for meeting us here.
Yes, Father God.
How true that is. We have no one else on earth. We have no one else in heaven but you, really.
Amen.
And help us to be in that state of thankfulness and praising you and honoring you with every breath, Lord. And people would see you in us and they would just beat down the door to get to you, Lord.
Yes.
We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.